Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Why don't we welcome into our location, from all of our locations. Come on, let's give it up for everybody out there today. You can take a seat. We're going to come around the Word of God. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 9. We're going to read together from verse 18. Matthew chapter 9, reading together from verse 18. Some of you are like, what is happening out here? How many of you want to know what's happening out here? Just hang around. You'll see. All right. Matthew 9, 18 is what it says here. As Jesus was saying this, the leader of a synagogue came and knelt down before him. My daughter just died, he said, but you can bring her back to life. How many of you believe that? It's good to be home. How many of you believe that Jesus can bring the dead back to life? How many of you believe Jesus can find the lost and bring them home? How many of you believe Jesus is the resurrection and he is the life? Now, come on. You can do better than that. Enjoy us. All right. I'm going to give you some encouragement. You can give me some back. It's all right. So this is what he said, but you can bring her back to life if you just come and lay your hand upon her. As Jesus and the disciples were going to the official's home, a woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind him. She touched the fringe of his robe, for she thought, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Jesus turned around and said to her, daughter, be encouraged. I like that straight away. Why? Because she's a person of faith. He turns to her, looks her in the eye, calls her daughter straight away. She's home. She's with family right here, right now. Daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was healed at that moment. Not another 6 years later, not 15 years later. No, the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus arrived at the official's home, he noticed the noisy crowds. How many of you know there's always a noisy crowd out there? Don't listen to the noisy crowds. They're going to say to you, you can't. They're going to say to you, it's impossible. They're going to say to you, you shouldn't. But how many of you know, when God has got a plan, God has got a plan. When Jesus arrived at the official's home, he noticed the noisy crowds and heard the funeral music. He said, go away, for the girl isn't dead. She's only asleep. But the crowd laughed at him. Ha! Like that. They laughed at him. When the crowd was finally outside, Jesus went in and took the girl by the hand and she stood up. I like that. He didn't even need to pray. He didn't even need to command. He took her by the hand and what was in him went into her. The report of this miracle swept through the entire countryside. I don't know about you. I love this story. How many of you love this story? I'm not too sure why I love this story. I think one of the reasons that I love this story is because there's so many stories within the story. It's not just the story. You read the story and it's like, well, what are we actually reading about here? What is the story? Are we actually talking, is the story about the man's faith who believed in Jesus and so he went to Jesus because he knew that Jesus could bring his girl back to life? Are we reading about the father's faith or are we reading about the woman's faith? Typically, out of this passage, we're going to talk about the woman with the issue of blood. And it's like, how many of you would like to be known for all of eternity as you are the woman with the, you know, all right. So are we talking about the woman who was hemorrhaging for 12 years? Is that the story? Are we talking about her faith? Is that the story? Or are we talking about when Jesus walked into the room and grabs hold of the girl by the hand and as a result, she comes back to life? Is that the story? Well, I think the story is all about all of these stories, but I actually think there's another story. And the other story is the story that we don't talk about too often. The other story is the one that doesn't get a lot of airplay. But how many of you know it's the one we're going to play today? This is the other story. Now, let's just go here. Let's go here. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I... All right, But I press on. Everyone say press on. What are we going to do? What was Paul doing? He was pressing on. But I press on. To take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Now, most of us here at Enjoy Church would say amen to that. Well, this is our deal. This is our lot in life. What are we doing? We are pressing on. We're going to press on. We're living on purpose. We're going to live on mission. We're going to go after everything that God has got for us. How many of you would say amen to that? We're not going to withdraw. We're not going to pull back. We're going to live on purpose, on mission. We're laying hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of us. This is our story, and this is what we're about. This is what we're going after. This is the life that Christ has called us to. Now, how many of you know Jesus was about the same business? He was about doing the will of the Father. How many of you would agree with that? He didn't come to do his own thing. He came to do the will of the Father. In fact, in John chapter 8, verse 28, it says, Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, you will realize. I don't know about you, I love the realization moments in life. I love those moments in God where all of a sudden it dawns on me. I'm like, I didn't see it. How many of you have been reading the Bible for like 100 years or 5 years or whatever the case may be, and then all of a sudden you read a passage that you've read 100 times before, and it's like, pow, it came alive to you, and you realized in an instant, you realized in a moment that God was up to something. In this passage, Jesus is saying the same thing. Then you will realize that I am He and that I do nothing. I do, or for all the Germans, I do nothing. I do nothing, dad joke, I'm back, all right. I do nothing on my own, but I speak what the Father taught me. So I'm not doing anything, and I'm not speaking anything that isn't coming from the Father. So Jesus is reaching for the God life, just like you and I. We're reaching for the God life. We're pressing on to lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of us. He's reaching for the God life with an end in mind where the Father is glorified through His words and His actions. How many of you would like to live a life like that? Where the Father, God the Father, is glorified through your words and your actions. How many of you are in for that life? In all of our locations, how many of you are in for that life? Praise God, I can hear you from here. That's awesome. All right. Paul says in Philippians, let's go back to Paul. You say, ding, ding, ding. It feels like a game of ping pong in here. It's awesome. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. So what was he doing? Previous to this, he was pressing on. And now this is why he's pressing on, because I don't consider myself to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, just one thing I do. Many of us are doing many, many, many things. But Paul says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. And now I've got to forget what's behind me and straining forward to what is ahead. What are we doing? We're straining forward. This is the heart of God, that we would all be pressing on, straining forward to what is ahead. I press on toward the goal. The what? The goal. To win the... All right, so what is the goal? To win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And so it is that Paul finds himself now straining and pressing towards his goals, something that many of us in this room would be familiar with. How many of you have got some goals in life? Yeah. Praise God, 18 of you, all right. How many of you have got some goals in life? All right, in our locations, how many of you have got goals in life? Good job, praise God. We're all in this together, we've all got goals. Goals that we're pressing towards. Some of our goals are our own goals, and some of our goals are God goals. How many of you would agree with me in saying that? Now, I know maybe when we become perfect like Christ was perfect, maybe then we'd get to the point where they're all God goals. I've truly died to myself. I don't know that many of us are there yet. I can't claim to be there yet. I still have goals. I don't know that my golf goals are God goals. They're more frustration goals. But we've all got goals. Many of our goals are God goals. They're from the Word. They're from inspired by the Holy Spirit. Many of us have got God goals, but many of us in this room have also got our own goals. And now, there's nothing wrong with having your own goals. I'm not going to stand here and say, no, you shouldn't have any of your own goals. How many of you know? I don't think that's the heart of the Father. The heart of the Father is rejoicing in us. And as long as we're not pursuing things that are, God is happy for us to have goals. He wants us to have His goals and other goals. And I'm not saying that if we have other goals, they're necessarily away from the will of God or the heart of God. But I think as we stand here today, we would all acknowledge we've all got all sorts of goals going on in our life. And with that in mind, if they're not contrary to the word of God, let us pursue whatever is in our heart. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Let's go after everything we know is of God and everything that is in our heart that we're believing could be God. So we're moving forward. And so it is that we strain and we press towards the goals, including the goal of winning the prize. How many of you want to win the prize? All right. You're crazy if you... I don't know if I want to win the prize. How many of you want to win the prize? I want to win the prize. I'm not running to come second. I beat my body and make it my slave. That's what Paul said. I beat my body and make it my slave, like an athlete, like a soldier. I'm pressing on to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. Why do we do this? Why do we live a disciplined life? Why do we live as disciples of Christ? Because we want to win the prize for which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. So now we're all busy. How many of you are busy? How many of you would agree with me? The most popular one-word sentence. When you ask your family or your friends or people around you, so how are you doing? How's things? How many of you would agree busy is the number one answer? So how are you doing? Busy, busy, busy. Well, if you didn't have a life, you wouldn't be busy. How many of you know it's okay to be busy? Sometimes busy is like, oh, I'm busy. Just be busy doing the right things, but we're all busy. What are we doing? We're busy pursuing the goals. Sometimes people say to me, Shane, I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to connect with you. I didn't want to catch up with you because I know you're busy. I just say to them, I say, look, I am busy. We're all busy. I'm busy doing what I want to do. So you should have made the call because I'd love to speak to you or do whatever. You know what I'm saying? So we're all busy. But at the end of the day, we're busy pursuing the goals that God has put in our heart. We're all busy. How many of you are busy? Praise God. We're busy. What are we busy doing? We're pressing and straining towards spiritual, emotional, physical, relational, financial, family, ministry, business, study, and personal goals. How many of you would agree? That's the truth. That's why we're busy. Now, think about this. It's all good. It's all good. We're busy doing all this. Think about this. When Jesus was on his way to pray for the little girl who had passed away, what was he doing? He was pressing towards that for which God had purposed for him. All right, so he's in a space and he's in a place. Where is he? He's here. All right. How many of you are here? How many of you are here? Praise God. In all of our locations, how many of you are there? You're there, here. All right, we're all here. How many of you know when Jesus was here, he was here. And he was asked to go somewhere else. When he was on his way, he was pressing towards the God purposes that God had for his life. He was pressing towards what God had purposed for him. But I have no doubt that he realized that on his way, there was a great work for him to do, and he was ready for it. He was what? He was ready. He was ready for it. What was he? He was on his way. And when he was on his way, he was ready for what God had purposed for his life. So I think most of us realize that we're not there. How many of you are not there yet? Most of you today are still here, as I have already asked you. How many of you are here? That's all of you. All right. You're all here. But how many of you know, praise God, we want to get there? Would that be true? All right, so we find ourselves here, but we're on our way to there. We're all busy. What are we busy doing? Pursuing the goals. We're pressing on. We're straining forward to everything that is ahead. But how many of you realize between here and there, between your now and tomorrow, between your present and your future, you're going to go past a whole lot of people between here and there. That's a reality. How many of you would agree with that? I'm not just talking about your family and your friends that are in your life every day, but you're going to go past a whole lot of people. People like the ones that are about to come onto the platform right now, as in they're a motley crew, but they're a beautiful crew. Praise God. How many of you know you can't choose your family? All right, let's give it up for the motley crew as they come up here right now. Praise God. Come on, we can do better than that. All right. Come on, come on. Even the guy with the bottle. Hurry up. All right. All right. So between here and there, we have a myriad of people. All right. How you doing, bro? All right. Don't trip over. All right. All right. Everybody's here. All right. So just so you know, did you get that from Georgie's car? Sorry. All right. It's not real. It's cough medicine. Anyway, whatever. All right. So between here and there, every day you are going to go past an incredible. You got arms, bro. Oh. Praise God. So I thought I'd begin with my bro here because he's a carpenter like our Lord and Savior. All right, moving right along. All right, so how many of you know between where you find yourself today and what it is that you're straining towards, you're going to go past people every day. Now, most of us live at 100 miles an hour. How many of you would agree with that? We are all busy. And because you're busy and you're straining towards what God has got for you, you somehow or other think between here and heaven, where you're going to receive your reward and your prize, you somehow or other think, and I'm guilty, I'm at the front of this line, all right? We somehow or other think that we can just scoot around the outside and beeline for what God has got for us. We somehow or other think that coming to men's conference doesn't actually matter that much. To coming out to Bloom isn't really that important. We somehow or other thinking that the people in the street and the people in the service station and the people in the shopping center and the people on the job site and the people in the hospital and the people in the bus stop and the people in the business and the hospitals, hey, we've got two lots of hospital, praise God, but on a different side of the bed, you know what I'm saying? And the businessman, some yuppie businessman, we somehow or other think that we can just bypass it all. But how many of you know Jesus didn't come to bypass anybody? He came. And the Bible says that on his way, they're on their way to pray for the girl. How many of you know? It's like, okay, I know where I'm going. I know where I am. I'm here. I'm going there. But he knew on his way there was a great work to be done. Friends, I want to encourage you today, on your way there, there is a great work to be done. If we are the church and we represent Christ, how many of you know we have got a responsibility before God? Now, we are all on our way somewhere. How many of you are on your way? You're all on your way. As you set out from this place today, this is reality. You're going to pass people. Are you beelining because you think, I just got to get to the end and get my reward? I just got to live my life and get to the end? I just want to get to heaven, but I don't necessarily want to get too close. I don't want to get too close to the carpenter or too close to the sick person or too close to the drunk person. Can I encourage you? If you speak to a drunk, you will not get drunk. If you speak to a sinner, you will not be a sinner. If you speak to the needy, you will not become needy. If you love the unlovable, it'll make you lovable in heaven. Friends, I want to encourage you today because we're all on our way somewhere. We're all on our way somewhere. The woman who reached out and touched Jesus. Think about it. Jesus on his way. And now Jesus is pressing through the crowd. You know the accounts, the other accounts. He's pressing through the crowd and everyone was touching him, but she reaches through and she's like, bang. And in that moment, healing power came out of his. She was hemorrhaging, considered unclean, unclean. She shouldn't have even been there. If the family knew she was out, they would have thrown her back. Get back in there. What are you doing out? What are you even doing coming out? But Jesus wasn't. He was like, I'll press through these crowds. I'll let them touch me because I'm on my way to touch someone else. I'm here to be touched and I'm here to touch. This is who I am. This is the Lord. He was walking past those who were hemorrhaging and bleeding, sick and dying. Friends, are we aware? Are we still aware that we live in a world that is largely sick and without hope? Sick and without hope. You might say, that's a bit harsh. No, this is real. When you go home, If you don't believe me, just start Googling. Do your own research on the issues. Issues such as domestic violence. Issues such as domestic abuse. Incest, assault, sexual abuse, road rage, drug and alcohol abuse, gang violence, murder and alike. Not to mention suicide and attempted suicide. I could read on and on. I could read all the statistics for you that prove the point. But I think even at the reading of these categories, you'd be saying, yeah, it is true. Our world is largely without hope, and our world is largely sick. But friends, can I say to you today that if you have Jesus, all right. Some people are like, well, what is the answer if you have Jesus? Jesus didn't bypass the community. Jesus didn't bypass the crowds. He didn't bypass the sick or the needy or the broken or the hurting. You know what I find really interesting? So you've already done it. I promise you, you've done it. You've looked at the sick and the needy. You're like, well, the yuppie guy, he's got his life together. He's married to the hot little nurse there, so they've got their life together. How many of you know they could be as sick and needy as these guys right here? This is reality. They can be as sick and as needy. On the outside, it all looks fantastic, but on the inside, they're dying, they're bleeding, they're hemorrhaging. You know what I'm talking about today. But I say to you again, if you have Jesus, then you have the hope of the world. In Matthew, praise God. Drunk, you should be clapping too. Praise God. All right. In Matthew chapter... I don't know what happened out there, locations, but whatever. You know where he is. All right, whatever. Matthew chapter 12, verse 21. And his name will be the hope of all the world. Speaking about Jesus, and his name will be the hope of all the world. If you have Jesus, you have the hope of all the world. If you have Jesus, you have the hope of all the world. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not going to bypass those who are in need of the gospel. Why? Because I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Yeah, you might ridicule me and you might roll over me and you might hit me with your bottle. And I can tell you, in the years that we've been doing ministry and in the streets, we've had things thrown at us. We've had guys come after us with knives and all the rest of that. But at the end of the day, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And as a church, we will never be ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile, the sick and the hopeless. So if you belong to Christ, can I encourage you and remind you afresh, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. If you belong to Christ, can I encourage you afresh, you are the salt of the earth and you have the hope. His name is Jesus and you have the power. It is the gospel for the hemorrhaging and the bleeding and the sick and the dying. So while we're on our way to lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of us, I want to ask you again, are we beelining for the prize? Or are we walking through the fields? Are we walking through the harvest slow enough? Are we out here? Or are we realizing maybe this is the goal, part of the goal? Maybe this is the prize, part of the prize. Are we bypassing and running around the edge? Or are we actually walking through the harvest, allowing them to touch us and us touching them? Are we walking through, realizing that this is actually our mission and this is our commission? Other than the people on the way, we have no reason to be here. We'll be able to worship in heaven. We'll be able to partake of the wobbler juice, the wine in heaven. I know, because Jesus said, I'm not going to partake again until we're all there together. Do we realize that this is our purpose in life? And I have the hope, and his name is Jesus. Am I slowing down enough as I walk through the harvest? Am I aware that this was me? That was me. This was you. The girl in the office, the businesswoman. Many of you were businesswomen, businessmen who didn't know the Lord. But someone slowed down long enough to share their hope with you. Because they shared their hope with you. You sit here today. And you now, many of us are now on the outside running so fast. We've forgotten why we're here. We're here to give God praise, yes. But there is no greater way to worship our King and to give God praise than to take our time as we walk through the harvest and share of the hope that we have and the power of the gospel. Because when we do this and lives are changed, how many of you know? You know what? I'm really looking forward to when we do get to heaven. And I hear, well done, good and faithful servant. That's the mission we're on. That's what we all want to hear. But I can promise you this. When we get to heaven, there's a group of people that I'm going to look for before I look for anybody else. People often talk about who they want to see when they get to heaven. I want to see Moses, or I want to see John the Baptist, or I want to see this guy, that guy. Well, I want to know where the enjoyers are hanging out. Because I can promise you this, as I've sown into your life and you've sown into my life and we've sown into their life and now they've sown into our lives, there is a joy that we're going to share in because we've done this together. It's great to read about all the heroes, but I tell you the truth, most of my heroes in the kingdom are actually enjoyers. They're way, way, way closer than many of us would think. Because I know the price that you've paid. I know where you've laid down your life. I know who you've reached for. But friends, I want to encourage you today. God's not done with us yet. God's not done with you yet. While we're on our way, can I encourage you, in all of our locations today, can I encourage all of us today, can we do this together? Can we reach together? Can we allow the crowds to touch us and can we touch them? Can we slow down just long enough to have conversations? And you might be like, but Shane, they're unclean. Yes, like you were and like I was. They're bleeding. Friends, let me say this to you. There are so many people that are bleeding. The woman in the Bible, she was hemorrhaging, yes, physically. But how many people do you know that are bleeding and dying and are without hope and without a future? Jesus is their hope. Jesus is their future. They just need us, the church, to slow down long enough and realize, hey, you were just like me. I know what you need. I know what you're hoping for. Here it is. His name is Jesus. I don't want to get to the end for a prize that seems to be without the reward. I don't want to miss out on the joy of sharing in their salvation. I want it for my family. I want it for my neighbors. I want it for my friends. But I want it for the crowds as well. I want to step out and walk on the water. I want to reach for people that have never been reached. If that is you, just as we sit here, in all of our locations, just as you sit there, just raise both hands towards heaven right now. I just want to pray for you as you sit there. I know we all really want to do this, but we fear. Don't fear. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name for every brother and sister in this room. You hear our cry. You hear our desire, Lord. We want to reach people for you. We don't want to walk around the crowds. We want to walk through the crowds. We want to touch people. Lord, we want the power of God within us to come into their life. We want the hope that is within us to come into their life. We want your glory to be revealed in us. For Lord, surely we are salt and surely we are light. So I ask today, Father, for every man, every woman, every brother, every sister that is in this room, I ask right here, right now, Lord, for a godly confidence, for a godly boldness to come upon them. Lord, we want to be a people who live on mission. We want to be a people who live on purpose. We want to be a people who lead many into the kingdom of God. We want to be the light and we want to be the salt. We want, Lord God, to be those who bring good news. We want to be those who release the power of God. We want to be those who bring hope to a hopeless generation. So, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name right here, right now, in this location and in all of our locations, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name, let your Spirit come upon us boldly. Give us confidence and give us courage that we might walk through the crowds and lead them to you in Jesus' wonderful, wonderful name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Come on, let's give God praise, shall we? Praise God.